Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Yeah, and welcome to a Restoring America. So many things are happening in our beloved country. You know, after a long period of darkness, we see a return to the principles of the Constitution and our founding. We watched Donald Trump. It was amazing. He was sworn in again as president, number 47th president of the United States. And remarkably, he started immediately to work. It wasn't pomp and circumstances as so often the history. Rather, he simultaneously sat there and signed a huge stack of executive orders while taking a press conference. I've never seen anything like that. He probably took more questions in that, 45 minutes or so signing those orders than President Biden did, I think, in the entire 4 years of his presidency. It is what it looks like to have a country back to business, and it was remarkable. All right, to cover this and so much more, I'm pleased to welcome back my colleague, my friend of, almost 40 years, and a partner in business, the remarkable Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike, back to Pirate Money Radio.
It'd be great to be back in the studio again after all these tours we've been doing out there.
Yeah, no, we were at AmFest, and we got some great content, met some great people, but it is good to be back in studio. All right, so we're going to talk about the new direction for America. What did it feel like to you on Inauguration Day?
If we go back to Danny Grego's theme song, Freedom, I kept shouting that out, as and I felt that for a week afterwards, and even today when I get up, there's just a change in my attitude or perceptions right now.
Freedom! Yeah, or maybe Braveheart, where Mel Gibson yells it,
that's good too.
Yells it out. All right, and it came not a moment too soon. Can you imagine where we would be if we were on business as usual, on the track that we were heading?
We were on, as you so well stated in that book, according to plan. We were on track. It was happening according to plan to basically take down America and the values that we stand for and built this country around.
Yeah, and I think most Americans felt like, and you saw it in the polls, they felt like that the Harris presidency would be even worse than the Biden presidency was. It would be, I hate to say it, but the Biden presidency was incompetent in multiple ways, and the Harris presidency wouldn't even have that veil of incompetence on it. They would have just gone full steam ahead.
Yeah. No, it's a great feeling, and I don't know, you might have another book now. I mean, we're going into the golden age, so do we shift from according to plan to the golden age?
I like that. That's a good title, from Pirate Money to the Golden Age. Look, I don't think we could have survived four more years headed the wrong direction, but while we've had a reversal of course, I remember that first Star Wars movie ended, it was a new hope, everything was exciting, and then, boom, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to worry about.
It's coming. I watched, we had Lance Swann on the show at AmFest and doing this stuff there. And the topic, I guess it was last week's show, going from a moment to a movement, and the importance of us not just sitting back and saying, everything is good right now, but the importance of really us each making a difference where we can.
Yeah. No, last week was actually Jim Simpson with Manufactured Crisis. Which is the same sort of thing. That is the deep state. They create a crisis, and it's according to plan. So, we all know what the deep state is.
All right, I'm off on my weeks, but the Lance Wallner had a good point there, and Jim Simpson did as well, and we are set to where it's got to be the small ships that make the difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the deep state, that's the big ship. So think of this as that original, the good Star Wars, back when we were kids, and, the original. The deep state's the empire, and the republic, by the way, the constitutional republic, have you ever thought about that? The Star Wars was telling us that the bad guys were the empire, and the good guys were the republic.
Yes. Yeah.
It is according to plan, though. You brought up the book. The deep state, if you don't know what the deep state is by now, wake up and do a web search. Here's the truth. The deep state is the institutionalized bureaucracy. Eisenhower called it the military-industrial complex. It's the big government that's full of bureaucrats and elitists, and they have a Marxist ideology, whether they know it or not, they're Marxist. There's no question. They're following the 45 goals of the Communist Party USA. It's what we wrote about in According to Plan. It's Cloward-Piven strategy. You overwhelm the system so that people get fed up and they're willing to take anything. You know, just get me out of this problem.
We were on the edge of that. I mean, we saw that all happening, and it was like it was starting to feel hopeless. But now to see that, you know, I guess it's scary to me that they were executing the plan as well as they were. I'm so thankful the way that politics kind of swings back and forth, but it seems like it woke people up.
It did. Well, speaking of woke, I mean, that's what they want us all to be woke. They couched their big government control with the terminology of compassion. Mm-hmm. Don't you believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion? I believe in diversity. I America is filled with diverse people, and they're wonderful Americans and positive contributors to society. We've welcomed immigrants more than any other nation on earth. We've been kind and welcoming, and I believe in equality. Mm-hmm. Everybody should have an equal opportunity. Don't believe in equity. Which means that if he's got more than me, then I can take from him and give to me. I don't think that's right. No. But I do believe in inclusion. Everybody ought to have an opportunity. Those are the terms they use. But DEI, terrible for America.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as it seems. I mean, obviously, we want different viewpoints. We want people working together from different backgrounds. We want that to drive true innovation. But it becomes a systemic process of just filling in a checklist of skin color and or different beliefs. It's
racial quotas.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's racist. Racial quotas are by definition racist. All right. And then they have this environmental worship. I want clean water. I like to drink clean water. I want my kids to have clean water. I don't want to pollute the environment. But they turn it into Mother Earth worship.
I like water to put fires out even.
Yeah, how about that? So instead, we'll protect the Delta smelt that didn't even belong in California in the first place. And we cut water off from the farmers. And now we cut water off from preserving the homes of Californians. It really, you know, they have special rules for themselves. And they put onerous rules on us. And so like Governor Newsom, he could go out during COVID and he could dine out at a restaurant. And that was why everybody else had to stay home. This is the elitism of According to Plan. And go ahead.
No, it is. And it was so real to me. And now what is happening with this new administration is just a complete different feeling of liberty. And we got a shot at really turning this thing around and getting rid of all the regulations, getting liberty, security, and values moving forward if we work together.
Yeah, well, the path that we were on was devastating in practice. It was wealth redistribution. The purpose of it was control. They would bankrupt the old system and then bring in a brand new system. And you notice it. You could see it. They believed in catastrophic failure and collapse. For example, with the police. You know, Black Lives Matter. The solution? Defund the police. Wait, are you kidding me? We're having riots in the streets and we want fewer police officers. That's crazy, unless it's January 6th, and then we want more police officers and we want draconian control. Do you see the hypocrisy here? Then they bankrupt the fire departments. Really, do you want a DEI fireman coming to rescue you? You know, the fire chief says, I want someone who looks like me. Are you kidding me? If you're a 110-pound female that's 5 foot tall, do you really want a 110-pound female, 5 foot tall, coming to rescue you out of a burning building?
I need a little more maha where I got to get my weight down and then maybe. But, you know, give me the big strong guy then get me out of whatever trouble I'm in.
Yeah, and the national security.
Or I will take an equivalent strong gal if she's got the same strength.
No, that's exactly right. They don't have to look like me. I just want somebody who can do the job. Yeah. That's the point. But national security, do we have to guarantee that every fighting unit has a certain number of transgender and a certain number of this and a certain number of that? This is what they've been doing. It's their purpose here. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to bankrupt America. That's what Elon Musk told us. He put in X. We need to do something about our national debt or the dollar will be worth nothing. That's what we're facing, a devastating According to Plan destruction. And the good news is President Trump has come in with a series of executive orders and this Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. And we're going to talk about that. Who did he put in charge of DOGE?
We got Elon Musk.
An African-American. Is that maybe that's a quote. No, that's a South African-American.
There you are.
The richest man on the planet, perhaps. You know, maybe Tony Stark. a real world Tony Stark, brilliant guy, somebody I've never met but would like to meet someday. All right, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, Mike, let's talk about Doge and Elon Musk and the plan that they've got to get us out of this horrible debt problem we're facing. We'll be right back after a break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about the Department of Government Efficiency and the big work it's got cut out for it to fight the deep state. Now, look at our debt situation. Mike, you remember when I wrote Pirate Money? It seems like yesterday, and we put the chart in from usdebtclock.org, and it was $34.1 trillion in debt. I looked at it just a week or so ago, and we're $36.5 trillion.
Yeah. I keep talking to legislators as we're going through this thing, and I'm basically just rounding it up to $40 trillion because we're going to be there before we know it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember our first COVID episode. I said, look out. We weren't even at $20 trillion, I think. I said, we will blink our eyes and be at $30 trillion. And that kind of understated what we faced.
Yeah. No, you've been accurate on every one of these. And that's the scary part, because even as effective as Doge is, and we look at that debt, it's how do you overcome 36 going on to $40 trillion of debt? How much efficiency and cuts can you actually make?
Well, the good news is I think there's a way to do it. And we'll talk about that. But we are spending $3 billion a day in interest only. $3 billion a day. Think about that. You know, that is, we're going to add $100 trillion, according to the Congressional Budget Office, to our debt over the next 30 years. And that's assuming no pandemics, no wars, and no recessions, which is highly unlikely. So
I was just looking at U.S. federal expenditure stuff the other day. So number one is Social Security. Number two is interest right now. Number three, health, and then Medicare. But interest is almost as big as Social Security. I mean, it's on its way to that.
And Medicare is going to pass Social Security. Yeah, if it's not done already, it will pass it. So this is according to plan. We will bankrupt the currency and then profit from it. When the money fails, that I want you to keep that in mind. When the money faileth, because that's a biblical quote. We're going to get to that. But you've seen that Federal Reserve chart. The more money we print, the wealthier the top 0.1% gets, right?
Yes, yep.
I mean, it's just
They ride right along with it.
Right along with it. And what happens to the average American?
As they keep printing that money, we lose. If the Federal Reserve does a great job and keeps inflation at only 2%, we've lost 2%. All while they keep printing the money and those top 0.5% keep riding with it.
If you're very, very wealthy, you can profit from inflation. The rest of us suffer from inflation. This is according to plan. And here's how they do it. They sell us on the idea of, oh, poverty is a problem, so we have to fix it with bigger government, right? So President Johnson had the war on poverty, and we've spent $30 trillion. That's a conservative estimate, $30 trillion on the war on poverty, and our debt is how much? $36
trillion? 36. I'm just going to call it 40 because I don't think it's going to stop.
Well, most of it has been that war on poverty.
Yeah.
And so we just grow the government bigger. And the bigger we grow the government, the more poverty we actually create. Government doesn't solve problems. It creates problems. Right. President Reagan taught us that.
Yeah, you look at that chart, and it's a great chart for those that are watching on video. I don't know if we'll have it on the screen or not. But you can see just that the big differential between money printing, top 0.5%, and then everybody else at the bottom. I mean, we talk about wealth gap all the time. The wealth gap is huge when you look at that.
Yep. The government creates a problem. The government solves the problem. And the solution always creates a wealth transfer and a consolidation of their power and then new problems that require more government. That's why Alexander Fraser Tytler explained that democracies, now we are supposed to live in a constitutional republic, not an empire and not a democracy. The empire was what the evil emperor of Star Wars had. The republic was the good guys. But everybody keeps telling us we live in a democracy. And you know why democracies always fail?
Why democracies always fail? Because they devalue their currency, don't they? Is that part of it?
Well, that's exactly it. They figure out the members of the democracy, the people, figure out, hey, I can vote myself largesse out of the public treasury. Well, you can't deliver more and more always, so the government just devalues the currency over and over and over. Consolidating power, printing more money so the elites, the wealthy get wealthier, and the rest of us suffer more. Democracies, here's Titler said, why do democracies only last 250 years? He wrote this in the late 1700s. The answer is, why, you ask? Greed. Democracies fail when citizens realize they can vote themselves largesse from the treasury, and Titler adds, a democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. That is according to plan. They've known about this. It is the elitist World Economic Forum types understand this, and that is their purpose and intention. So how do we fight it? We enter with Trump, the disruptor. And who does he bring in to fight in the cage match?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. All right, give me your best. You've got the deep voice there. Give me your best WWE or WWF example of Elon Musk in one corner. I think I looked him up, and AI, I think it said he weighs 194 pounds.
I'm not sure. 194. He must be messing with the algorithm. Does he look like 194?
He bought the AI, so of course they say nice things about him. But that's what I said. How much is it? You can try it. Ask Siri. How much is Elon Musk?
He's trying to play games with Mark Zuckerberg when they have that cage match. He's trying to understand, oh, I'm a small guy. So,
all right. Well, weighing in at 194, you can say roughly 200 pounds on one side, and facing off against some $36.5 trillion of the deep state debt. So give us your...
All right. I don't know if I can pull that one off, but on this corner, we got futurist, we got innovator, we got Elon Musk at 194 pounds, ready to take on the debt of America against... the deep state, $36 trillion debt.
There we go.
Weighing it at $36 trillion against Elon Musk at 194 pounds. He's a smart guy, so hopefully he can make up for it in brains, what he lacks in muscle. But that's a big ask.
It's a big ask. Does Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, even have a chance? Well, before week one of the Trump administration, I was like, oh, I hope so, but I'm kind of skeptical. But you know what he did in the first week? We know. I've got a list here. He put efficiency, not equity. You know, government efficiency, isn't that oxymoronic?
Yeah, that gets you back to that old Reagan saying, you know, I'm here from the scariest thing in the world. I'm here from the government. I'm here to help you.
That's why he brought in an outsider who doesn't work for the government, mm-hmm. which is what, you know, Trump is an outsider too. He doesn't work for he gets paid a dollar a year or something to be president. He gives back all of his salary. But we've got to have genuine compassion, not false promises, real sustainability, not this Green New Deal stuff. And you have to have outsiders. The basic principles, Doge, their goal is $2 trillion in reduced spending. That's audacious. You know, our mandatory spending is $5 trillion. Our discretionary spending is $2 trillion. And the discretionary spending out of that total $7 trillion is defense and all government employees and all of that. I mean, that doesn't seem extremely discretionary. I thought if they could just get $200 billion out of this, it would be a good thing. And people don't realize how much $1 trillion is, let alone $2 trillion. That is the total sum of all American credit card debt. Every American with credit card debt, you add it all up, it's just a little over $1 trillion, and we're running a $2 trillion deficit every single year, and we're paying $1 trillion just in interest only. This seems like an impossible situation, but if he could get $200 billion, that'd be at least a start, right?
It's definitely, we'll take baby steps right now, and he's got to do that. He's got to cut it, but he's also got to be aware of not killing the economy as you start cutting too much out of things.
So. Oh, yeah, because you fire and lay off a ton of people all of a sudden, and you know that has an economic impact. And then we have big threats that are on our horizon. And yes, it is about the money. Luke 16:11, Jesus told us, he said, we need to get the money part right before we can have true riches. What he actually said, if you're not faithful with your unrighteous mammon, I don't think we've been faithful here in America with our unrighteous mammon, then no one will trust us with true riches. That's Luke 16:11. And I think it's immoral to spend money that is our children's future. We've got to stop that. Now, speaking of money, There are only three things you can do with your money. You personally, well, you can pay taxes, so I guess four things. But you can give your money, you can spend it voluntarily, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. And they operate on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And it's about money and what your phone carrier does with your money, what you do with your money. Money's a huge issue, and it's designed to enslave us. Money is a gift from God. It's a tool. It's a wonderful thing. But there's that passage in Genesis. It's titled, it says in Genesis 47, 15 through 17, I'll read from the King James, but the key quote is, when the money faileth. Here's what it says.
Wait a second. That's in the Bible, when the money faileth. So it's not like this would be a first time for that to happen.
No. It's happened throughout century, and it's an opportunity to enslave people with money, because Genesis 47, 15 through 17 said, and when the money faileth in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. And what did he do? He basically enroll them all as slaves to Pharaoh. This is how dictatorships take over from a crisis, when the money faileth.
Well, when you're worried about how you're going to eat or how you're going to pay for the food that you have, and the money faileth, your priorities start to change.
That's right. People will sell themselves into slavery for food.
It's according to plan. And I'm reminded of that guy from Zimbabwe. He said, I was living a good life. Then hyperinflation hit, and I sold my truck for two loaves of bread. He's like, you've got to get this transactional gold thing working.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. Doge is part of it. Pirate money is part of it. But here's the plan. Bankrupt America through compassionate spending. And how compassionate is that, really, to spend your kid's future in, quote, compassion? And when the money fails, people will sign up for slavery. The borrower is a slave to the lender. It says in Proverbs 22:7. That the rich rule over the poor, that's what we're seeing, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. This is biblical truth, people, and we've got to address it. Now, how are they going to execute it? Well, they're going to destroy the dollar by overspending, and when it fails, the foreign nations will stop loaning us money, and the dollar will lose its reserve currency status, and then they're going to enter in with central bank digital currency, CBDC, and desperate people will accept it, just like the people of Egypt accepted slavery. And central bank digital currency is just an electronic, high-tech version of slavery. What is CBDC? We'll talk about that. How can we fix it? Well, there's good news. And we'll cover it in the next segment of the program. But Doge actually has the potential to arrest the problem, to stop the problem that's leading to central bank digital currency. Federal debt is a problem, and it's caused by growing government faster than we're growing the economy. The solution? We need to grow the economy faster than the government. And we've got to do it before we hit the point of no return. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have real solutions on what you can do to help save America from slavery. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And with the remarkable Mike Carter, who's leading the pirate money effort in states across the United States. He's talking to people all the time. And, you know, we talked right before the break about central bank digital currency being a high-tech version of slavery. What do the people think about central bank digital currency when you talk to them?
Well, the ones that understand what it is are very concerned about it. I think what's really concerning is central bank digital currency is according to plan. There is a plan to make this happen. And you can look at our fiscal debt. You can look at everything that's happening out there. They are trying to make the money fail. And, you know, I hope that never happens. We hope that never happens. But if it does, it's prudent to have some alternatives out there. But people are scared to death when they understand that all of a sudden there'll be a credit score and they will determine how I can spend my money, where I'm going to spend my money, what I can do with it. If you don't have economic freedom, you don't have anything.
You just bought a new oven, right?
Yeah.
New oven. So what if you walked in and they decided that you were not allowed to have this oven because of something you said on the internet, or maybe it's gas powered.
Well, that came up. Yeah, I was getting a new hood installed for the gas range. And I was talking about CBDCs to the guy installing that, who was very interested in pirate money, by the way. He walked out with a book and was like, I need to read this. I'm going to read it later today. I said, what would it be like if all of a sudden you couldn't even install vent hoods anymore because everything's going to be electric now, you know, and that business just goes away.
Just destroyed his livelihood.
Yeah, no.
And that is the kind of control that we have. Central bank digital currency, they can do reparations and they can say, well, you know, your grandparents did this or great grandparents did this. So we're taking money from you and giving it to somebody else. That's where we were headed. And 192 nations on the planet are developing a central bank digital currency. Day one, President Trump gets in, signs executive orders. One of them was banning central bank digital currency.
Yeah. And that makes everybody feel good for a second until there's another administration. Or we've seen Florida and other states pass legislation. Louisiana, all saying, okay, we're not going to allow central bank digital currency in our states. That, again, that works great until the federal government says, no, you're not going to get any federal funds then. You're not going to get any funding from us. We've got to have alternative solutions, optional solutions, and that's the path we're working towards.
Another famous Bible quote about Joseph in Egypt was, there arose in Egypt a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. So they invited everybody in, all the Hebrew nation, all, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob and his whole family, all 12 tribes of Israel, came in and lived in Egypt. And that was great. They were honored because Joseph was like, you know, top of the thing, saved Egypt, saved the world and everything else. But one day the Pharaoh died and another Pharaoh rose in his place and decided he wanted to enslave the Hebrew people. And that's what we've got. President Trump is fantastic. I'm grateful for him. And we've got to talk about Doge and what it's going to do, because we've got a two-part solution. One is grow the economy faster than we grow the government, and that will help us avert crisis. And the second one is that fail-safe. If the money fails, where is your money? Where's your treasure? Yeah. We want to put it not in ungodly, unbiblical, dishonest weights and measures, but in honest ways. So let's start with the Doge part of it.
I'm encouraged by the fact that there is potentially a way to grow the economy again. I mean, I wasn't feeling that before, but there really is a way to potentially grow out of this and then work on this other path we're talking about.
Yeah, and you got to grow the economy faster than the government. The problem is the government's been growing faster than the economy. Under Biden, most of the new jobs that were coming in were government jobs or government-related jobs. But here's a World Bank study that in 2005, this is in Mercatus.org, quote, 2005 World Bank study found that a 10 percentage point increase in a country's regulatory burden slows the annual growth rate of GDP per capita by a half percentage point. Now, that doesn't sound like much. That's not a problem. We'll just increase 10%. Based on this finding, an increase in regulatory burdens can translate into thousands of dollars in lost GDP per capita in less than a decade. Wow. Okay. So what did Biden do? Did they increase regulation or decrease regulation?
No, there's many regulations, and we felt the pain of that.
Yeah.
And they printed the money on top of it.
To pay for it. And so they made the money worth less, which eventually it becomes worthless. Biden-Harris regulations cost the average family almost $50,000. This was in Unleash Prosperity. Committee to Unleash Prosperity released that. $50,000.
Yeah, I heard a stat on the news that there were 55,000. I'm not sure how they're coming up with that. Does that include the inflation factor, or is that just another 50,000 in economic hit?
I think it's the regulations, because we would have had more growth without it. You and I have talked about this before, that there was a study that was out in 2013, back when they used to have honest government studies from the Journal of Economic Growth. It says, the growth of federal regulations over the past six decades, so you're going to have to go back to the 50s, 40s here, has cut U.S. economic growth by an average of 2 percentage points per year. Now, that ties into that report we had from Mercatus. Every 10% increase in regulation costs you 0.5%. Well, they're saying 2 percentage points per year, according to a new study in the Journal of Economic Growth, As a result, the average American household receives about $277,000 less annually than it would have gotten in the absence of 6 decades of accumulated regulations. This is before the second term of Obama and before Biden's term. In other words, a median household income would be $330,000. How would that feel, do you think, if the average was $330,000?
Yeah, it would be a different America. We would not have the wealth gap that we have today. We would, you know, with money doesn't bring happiness, but it does change a lot of things for folks. And just think of the prosperity and the difference that we could be making out there.
$330,000, you know, the average household income right now is like $60,000. Yeah. $330,000, it would be such an amazing thing. It would be the exact opposite of that wealth gap that's created, as you said. Yeah. Now, here's another study. This one just came out. A couple of years ago came out. Auburn University study. Every single regulator destroys fully 138 private sector jobs. Stop and think about this. Every year they're on the job. So you hire a new government regulator and you lose 138 private sector jobs. What is this doing? It is building the federal government and crushing the private sector. This is de facto Marxism, where the state owns everything over a period of time. That's why Biden, all those jobs he created were government jobs.
Yep.
And that's causing the destruction of the private sector.
According to plan. I had an electrician at my house as we were doing this oven project and everything else. And he was talking about, well, you know, I was working for another company and I couldn't believe the prices they were charging and this and that. So then I started my own business. And then all of a sudden I realized the regulations and by the time I hire employees, what it really cost me to do that. And he's like, I just said, I'm just going to stay focused on
that's why you have to raise prices.
My one-man truck right now.
Yeah. That's why you have to raise prices. You know, there are 300,000 federal regulators on the job right now.
Well, that's encouraging. 300,000. Well, hopefully that's going to be in the next executive order to get rid of some of that.
You know, it is in the executive order. He cut the consumer financial protection of bureau, whatever. He cut their funding to zero.
Nice.
You know, that's pretty cool.
Was that Elizabeth Warren's thing?
Yeah, that was her pet project. All right, so to grow the economy faster than you grow the government. I just interviewed our good friend, Professor Phil Parker it's like the pioneer of artificial intelligence. Nobody knows who he is except at INSEAD University, which is the number two business school in the world. And he's the chair of the department. And he literally invented a lot of the AI that we're seeing out there today. Just interviewed him and he said, AI is going to be huge for productivity, which will help the economy grow. In the past, when we've had economic growth, it's been absorbed by bigger and growing government. So, you know, we used to have a 4 or 5% annual growth in our gross domestic product, and then government grew massively, and it would have taken us down to 1 or 0% growth. But then we'd have an innovation that would come along, like the computer, huge innovation.
And the cell phone.
And the internet and the cell phone and all that. And so instead of going from 5% to zero, we went from 5% to 2%. Mm-hmm. And we've been suffering along at 2.5%. But artificial intelligence has the potential to take us back to 5%. And if you shrink the government at the same time, it'll stick and we can grow our economy. But it will require, and Phil explained it to us, massive amounts of energy, lots of electricity.
You know, one of the things that I hear, we're on American Family Radio, I hear a lot of people say, I don't want to do anything to do with AI. That's going to be evil. It's going to be bad. But I think if you understand what AI really comes from, I mean, God is the creator of all things. He's the creator of numbers and everything else out there. This can be used for good and for his purposes, or if we don't do anything with it, then it's going to be used against us.
Yeah. And well, I'll tell you, Phil Parker was very plain in saying, like, the first calculators that come in, I remember as a kid when we got, these are terrible. These are evil. It will ruin our math skills. We can't allow them in schools. Now, they're mandatory for schools, right? That's part of your school supply that you have to have. And people continue on math. We've advanced humanity. We need to have Phil on Pirate Money Radio sometime to talk through what AI is. But it's going to require lots of energy, which, what did Trump say about energy?
Drill, baby, drill. Was that let's get energy costs down? That's the key to cutting back on some of this inflation?
And expanding nuclear power. It's the key not only to cutting inflation, it's the key to growing our economy rapidly. Phil Parker said, the nation that gets affordable, reliable, inexpensive electricity is the nation that's going to dominate and rule the world. And what does the green movement want? Unreliable, expensive energy. We've got to, this is why electing President Trump is actually a potential for saving America's place in the world.
That's exciting and encouraging. I know I look at my utility bill and the amount that it's gone up just in the last 3 or 4 years. It's crazy. And so to be able to turn that around and what that means, think of an average family. I mean, those bills get pretty expensive, especially when it gets colder outside and so forth. Huge economic benefit just on that alone. Now you talk about layering these other technologies, what they can mean to the America. It's exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people were worried about the DeepSeek announcement. Bottom line is that we don't export our top line chips from NVIDIA to other nations. And when China's DeepSeek, you know, supposedly funded with $6 million and young entrepreneur announces, we can outperform ChatGPT and all of the top things you spent billions and billions and billions of dollars on, we can outperform those with $6 million because that's how good we are in China. You know, it scared people, rattled the stock market. NVIDIA lost $600 billion in one day in market cap.
That's hurts.
Unbelievably astounding. But talking with Phil, we learned that, you know, that's just the natural evolution of AI. We don't even know if it's, is it DeepSeek or is it ChatCCP, right? Mm-hmm. ChatCCP. Mm-hmm. Is this an example of a Sputnik moment? Maybe or maybe not. Is this an example where, you know, NASA spent hundreds of millions of dollars developing a space pen, which, by the way, this is a false story. It didn't really happen. And we got a space pen that could write in outer space, you know, with zero gravity and all that. And what did Russia use? They used a pencil. Yeah, no. I don't think that's a true story, but it really is a wake-up call for us. This is an incredible moment for America with President Trump. We've got to be smart about this. We can't have nonsense. We've got to have Doge killing the deep state for our children to have a future. And we're going to talk about another solution when we come back right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm talking with Mike Carter. Mike, we were talking about Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. If we could reduce regulations and boom our energy, I think we've got a shot at making our economy come back into balance, reducing the debt, maybe even paying off some of that government debt. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I'm ready. Let's make it happen. And I think we got to say, okay, what do we each need to be doing on our own to help make this happen with our state legislators as well as federal representatives?
Absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned, you pulled up and said, here are the largest expenses of the federal government. It's not defense. It was Social Security and interest. And what was the third one that you said?
Social Security. You caught me now. I got to go.
You said it out loud. It was healthcare costs.
Oh, yes.
Medicare and healthcare.
Yes.
So we have a guy that came and we're going to make America healthy again. And he's very controversial. But with or without Bobby Kennedy Jr., there must be a MAHA moment in America, make America healthy again. We've got to have that. Why? Because it is probably the highest cost government pays right now today. And if it's not, it will be the highest cost with an aging population. You used to work in the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's essential. It's helped improve people's lives. But then we get into COVID and we see it almost draconian and controlling. And, you know, I know what's best and I'm going to force you to take. You know, from your perspective, how important is it to fix the health problem?
Well, just think about the economic health. But, you know, if I had my choice between economic health and personal health, I'm going to take the personal health every day. The ability to be able to walk and get around and feel healthy and feel good and get out of bed in the morning versus, you know, I hear and see America as I was watching some of the hearings with Kennedy the other day. You know, we're over-medicated and we're overweight. And if we can fix some of those pieces and get people back to lives that are just going to improve people's lives every day, I don't know how you get better than that.
Well, their whole industry is designed to get you over-medicated and overweight. Entire mm-hmm. industries funded and subsidized by the U.S. government. I mean, you look at the subsidies that go into our food and the subsidies that go into our into our health provisions and medical industry, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Dr. Carson told me, he said, we spend about $13,000 per person on healthcare. And he said, you could hire a concierge doctor in most parts of the country for $5,000 a year. Your own personal physician on call. I mean, why do such a bloated, ridiculous program?
Yeah. It's got to be fixed. And I think, you know, the focus that we at least have a focus on making America healthy again, another great step to helping us economically, but also just improving lives.
Well, and the whole health insurance, I mean, we've talked about this for the last 15, 20 years. My health insurance, 15 years before the Affordable Care Act, I could afford health insurance. It was like $300 or $400 a month for my whole family. Now I've gotten older, so I know there's an increased cost. But why is it $2,500 a month now?
Yeah, because of inefficiencies. We need that Dodge effect out there already. You know, you can't go across state lines, and everything's broken into different pieces, and everybody's getting their piece. And I thought it was interesting to see, you know, we got Kennedy on the Republican side right now, and you got Democrats on the other side really standing up for the pharmaceutical industry. And that just says how much money is flowing into D.C. right now to make some
it
of these things happen.
It seems backwards, doesn't it? I mean, it does say the Democrat. We need a rational medicine approach. Any one of you who's ever gone into the doctor or gone to get a test or something, just sometime ask, here's my insurance, but just as a question, if I paid cash, how much would it be? And you'll be shocked at how much lower it is if you pay cash. Or our friend,
we do it all. We do it all the time, you know. And we're like, I'm going to pay cash then. And you know, Foster Freeze started this about transparency and healthcare costs. Wouldn't it be great if you could just go online and be able to see? Okay, I need to get this procedure done. Let me go online. Gosh, it's a difference of 50% cheaper if I drive 3 miles this way versus 3 miles this way. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. But if you can price shop and price compare. Mm-hmm. Everybody will lower their prices.
Yep.
And they could argue, our surgeon's more skilled. Well, I'm willing to pay a little more for skill.
Yep.
But you have no idea what it costs when you go
yep.
in. And your health insurance, Dave Diaz, our friend, was talking about, if you allowed health insurance across state lines, it might lower insurance costs by 50%. We've got to get a handle on this. In executive orders, they're talking about price transparency, and they say that alone could save $1 trillion of federal spending every year. Well, if you save $1 trillion there, that's huge. All right, so Trump has accomplished a lot in his first week, actually. He promoted artificial intelligence growth. He's developing reliable energy and stopped subsidizing unreliable. He's opened Alaska energy. He's getting federal employees back to the office. And if they don't want to come back to the office, he's given a package so they can leave. They can retire and package out the bureaucracy. He's getting us out of bad international tax deals that said we'd have to raise our corporate taxes. I mean, he is doing everything possible to grow the economy faster than the government. If we have a 5% annual growth rate with cuts in regulations, we will be able to balance our budgets and pay down that debt. Our average household wealth will skyrocket. Government debt will be affordable in a few years, and we'll have lower interest rates. Quoting townhall.com, it says, Doge has already been documenting its progress in posts on X. The group recently claimed it is saving the federal government about $1 billion per day by stopping the hiring of people into unnecessary positions, deletion of DEI, and stopping improper payments to foreign organizations. Well, according to usdebtclock.org, Doge has already saved the federal government over $30 billion. Well, if you save $1 billion a day, you're making a difference. That will add up, and we're on our path to knocking out that $2 trillion in debt. And if we grow the economy, the taxes will go way up.
Did you see where there was like billions of dollars of federal agencies that have been shut down that are still being spent out there, and the agencies don't even exist anymore? You know, is going through this thing. I mean, how can that kind of inefficiency even happen?
That's why the big fight over the freeze. He wanted to freeze all spending until they got a handle on it, and then they took him to court and all that. We're seeing all that play out because the deep state wants to strike back. We need Doge plus, plus, plus.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Mike, near and dear to your heart and the namesake of this radio program, we also need to make money great again.
There you are.
Constitutional currency as a CBDC solution and also a debt solution, everything. How do we stop the money from failing? We return to Constitution. We return the power to the states. We make money great again. Describe what pirate money is.
Pirate money is the ability to take part of what you make, have some ready money, put it in a depository, typically run by one of the states, and own gold. And then it's
or silver.
Yeah, gold or silver, either one. And that's taking advantage of Article 1, Section 10, constitutional rights. States can have their own legal tender as long as it's backed by gold and silver. Now we have the technology to attach a debit card to that gold that's in the vault and be able to spend that gold and silver anywhere you spend a MasterCard or a debit card out there. Now, the beautiful part, that's definitely pirate money. The beautiful part is now everybody has optionality to do this. It's not mandated. We're still going to have dollars, all that kind of stuff. We're still going to see medium of exchange, unit of accounts, things done in dollars. But now you can have some ready money in gold that's always there as kind of your emergency in case something were to happen out there. We're seeing more and more states signing up. It's been a very active week legislatively. You and I were talking with multiple states this week. New ones coming on board. This is a big idea. It's a real idea. It's a movement that's happening, and super excited to see what happens in 2025 legislatively.
Well, you know why the money faileth in the time of Joseph? The money failed because there was such inflation. The commodities were so valuable. The bread was so valuable. It's like your friend that had to sell his truck for two loaves of bread, that the money, inflation destroyed the value of money. So they turned everything over that they had, and then they sold themselves into slavery. How do we stop that? What if they had the opportunity to preserve their wealth against grain prices, against the famine that was there? The way to do it is pirate money. It's constitutional. It's fully valid. Your state can do it. Money is just a unit of account, a medium of exchange, and a store of value. Gold is a great unit of account. It's a great store of value, but it's traditionally been a poor medium of exchange. But if you add technology to it, where you can spend it with a debit card, and that exists. You and I use that.
Yeah.
We've used it multiple times. We can protect against what the U.S. dollar failed with. The U.S. dollar's lost 90%+ of its purchasing power in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Actually, just since 1971, I have to admit I'm a little older than that. It failed so bad that Nixon tried to institute wage and price controls, but with the Constitution. Now, do people want it? Well, we put it on the ballot. What did Proposition 7 teach us?
Yeah, we had 77% of Texans in that case that said, hey, we want this to be available to us. They put it on the Republican platform. We're seeing strong support in the House and the Senate in Texas right now as we move into 2025. So exciting stuff. But, if I could just go back to that one example again, that gentleman from Zimbabwe, he said, I sold my truck for two loaves of bread, but if I would have had ready money, I was living a normal life. And then hyperinflation hit in, and he goes, and then there was poverty. And if I had ready money set aside an account in gold and silver, I could go to the grocery store every day, and I'm going to be paying the same everyday low prices. I'm not playing that game of inflated printed money there. I've got something where I could offend my family. Please make this happen in the U.S.
Well, it is happening in the U.S. thanks to your good work. I mean, you've been talking with the people in Florida, and the CFO, the treasurer, essentially, of Florida is a guy named Jimmy Patronis. He is President Trump's hand-pick replacement for Matt Gaetz in the Congress. And he launched a study that we've been able to talk to people about and see that's going to prove that this is constitutional, it's workable, and it can be implemented. We know it's going to come with that conclusion because we participated in the Utah study where Treasurer Marlo Oaks looked at this and he said, the constitutional legal foundation addressed by the work group provides a strong basis for gold as legal money, once again, eliminating federal capital gains taxes on gold transactions. That's the study conclusion. The ideal of this is pirate money. And you can learn more about that at piratemoneybook.com. Other nations are buying gold. It's a tier one asset. The problem is, how do you spend it? It's a great unit of account, a great store of value, a lousy medium of exchange, and the solution is technology. Imagine you're getting paid in gold and silver. You paid your employees in gold and silver. You bought your goods and groceries in gold and silver. It is legal, optional. A state can do it. Mike, thank you so much for the work that you've been doing to get pirate money instituted. We've got to put Doge in place and bring pirate money to practical use here in America. It's Kevin Freeman, Mike Carter from Pirate Money Radio.